My Bible reading this morning is quite a short one, but it's taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and it's verses 14 to 16. If you've got your Bibles, do turn to it, but you will also see it up on the overhead. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Dave is going to come and speak to us, and let's just pray as Dave comes up to speak. Dear Heavenly Father, these are amazing words that you spoke to your disciples. And as followers of Jesus, you speak these very words to us. Father, may we clearly hear your voice today. As Dave speaks, we pray that you will anoint him, that the words will be your words. Lord, that they will sink deep into our hearts. And Lord, that we will not only hear you, but we will respond to what you are saying to us as individuals today. Father, thank you that you want to speak to us. Help us to recognize how amazing that is and listen carefully to what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Carol, and good morning to everyone. A warm welcome. I'd like to add my welcome to Carol's. Well, as Carol said, we're going to be thinking about this passage from Matthew chapter 5 this morning. And one of the questions we're going to try and think about is this: how do we live as children, as people of light? And you'll be able to tell me at the end whether or not we've been able to answer that. But I don't know whether you have ever been plunged into sudden darkness, maybe during a power cut or something like that. Well, I had one of those occasions many years ago. I was, after finishing university, I worked with a church for a year in Cambridgeshire on a year out voluntary type scheme. And while I was there during the year, I got an invitation to a wedding from one of my friends at university, so I thought it's a good opportunity to catch up with some old friends, celebrate Alex's wedding, and so the only problem was I didn't have a car because I didn't have any money really. But mum and dad very kindly lent me their car. I think I must have gone home to pick it up, and so I drove down to this wedding, which was in Surrey near Camberley, and had a great day celebrating, catching up with people. And then it got to probably 10 o'clock, 10:30, and I thought, I better start thinking about making my way back because I couldn't afford one of the posh hotel rooms where the wedding was. And also, because I was working for the church, I was on like a million rotors and I needed to be back for Sunday morning. So went back to the car, said my goodbyes, went back to the car, drove along the M3, around the M25, and up back towards St. Neots in Cambridgeshire, where I was working. And had a great journey back, being late on a Saturday night. There was nothing on the roads. And then I pulled off the dual carriageway just a couple of miles from where I was living. And the road was in complete darkness. And I thought, oh dear, maybe I've driven all the way back without my lights on, because I was on the motorway and things, it was quite well lit. So I could just about see where I was going, but I thought I'd better pull over. Fortunately, left the engine running, and sure enough, there were no headlights on the car. I thought, I've got three options. I could just leave the car parked here and walk the 2 miles or so it was back to where I was living. But I was in my suit from the wedding and some uncomfortable shoes, so I didn't really want to do that. I then thought I could call someone, maybe the pastor that I was working with, and see if he could come and pick me up or tow me back. But it was about 12:30, and I thought, might not appreciate a call at that time of the day. So I thought, I'm just going to risk it. I'm going to drive back without any lights, and hoping that there were no policemen around, or that they were maybe doing something in the town centre, I don't know. So I drove back along this very dark road, eventually got to the edge of the town where there were some street lights, and I know you're all thinking I got stopped, aren't you? But I didn't. I made it back. Rightly or wrongly, I got back and was very relieved to get to my bed, and took the car in Monday morning and was told that the battery was totally dead and the alternator had gone in the car, so they fixed it and it was okay again. But when we live our Christian lives, so there's times, aren't there, where it can feel a bit dark, maybe a bit like I felt when I came off and was suddenly on that very dark road without any streetlights. And that can be a hard place to be, because we feel like we're not being a good light to others, and maybe the darkness is just very hard to deal with on a personal level. And then when we turn to the Bible, we read passages like this about being the light of the world. And so, just like the garage are able to fix our car, I think there's things that we can do that can help us to be that light. And so we're going to just think about three different things that I think might be able to help us. And if you like the occasional pint of beer, they'll be easy to remember, because the three letters that begin the words that I'm going to use spell IPA. If you don't drink beer, that won't mean anything whatsoever to you. So IPA, the first one, I. We're going to think about identity. And when you read about the life of Jesus, you read about somebody that was very clear about his identity, who he was, and why he came into this world. He was clear about his identity and clear about his purpose. Okay. And just let Ollie come with Nick. And so when we read about the life of Jesus, you can see, even from the Old Testament and even very early on in his life, that he was clear about his identity. So when Simeon was in the temple and he was holding the baby Jesus, just a few days old, this was one of the things that was said by the prophet Simeon as he was holding Jesus. He said, "This baby, this child, will be a light of revelation for the Gentiles." And Simeon, very early on, before Jesus had even done anything, recognized that this was the light who'd been prophesied to come into the world. You read a similar thing in Matthew 4, where Matthew says that Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, where he said, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned." And then you get to John chapter 9, and Jesus says this incredible statement, one of his famous I am statements: "I am the light of the world." There's been various songs written about that, haven't there? And then we get, so Jesus was in no doubt that he was the light of the world, bringing God's light into the darkness, showing people who God was, what God is like by his words and by his actions, and also what God's purposes are for us. And then we get to Matthew chapter 5, our passage for today. And then Jesus says a strange statement, where rather than saying he is the light of the world, he says this in Matthew 5, verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. And as I've been thinking about this over the past week or two, I thought, how do we understand this apparent contradiction? Jesus, in one place, is saying he's the light of the world. Then he says to his disciples and to the church and his followers, and that means us, you are the light of the world. And as I've thought about this, I thought we probably need to just go back to John chapter 9, where Jesus gives this statement saying that he's the light of the world. Because if we read the sentence in full, John 9 verse 5, it says this, Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And I think what he's saying is, while Jesus was physically present on earth in his body before he returned to the Father, he was that embodiment of who God is, the incarnation. But once he'd gone back to the Father, he then gives us that commission that we are now to be the light of the world, his light in the world. And that part of our identity is to be that light. Part of our purpose in life is to be that light. And as people, we all live, don't we, out of our identity. We all live out of our identity. And the challenge for us is, do we see, do we recognize what our identity is? These are just some statements, the one I've just said from Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. It's an incredible privilege that also brings responsibilities with it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, well-known verses, they say this, you are a chosen people. And we could spend a whole sermon series just on this one verse in 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen people, and then later in the verse, called out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then the verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, live as children of light. And our identity in Christ is a huge area that takes a lifetime and more probably to discover. But part of our identity in Christ is that we are light. We've been transferred from this kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of light. And that means a whole million and one different things. But unless we see ourselves as people of light, with Christ's light within us, and therefore the responsibility to shine into the world, we'll struggle to live as people of light. So, what will help us to grow in our God-given identity? Maybe there's something you can do this week just that will help discover more and more of what your identity is in Jesus. Maybe it's just meditating on one of those verses. That verse in 1 Peter 2 is a great one just to look at in your quiet times this week. Just meditate upon each different phrase within that, because it reminds us of who we are. And unless we realize who we are, we'll struggle to live out the way that God wants us to live, or we'll be doing it with the wrong motives. So we've done I, we're going to do P. Power. One of the challenges for us as Christians, particularly if you've been a Christian for a long time, is remembering that it is impossible to live the Christian life without Christ. That may sound a very basic statement. It's impossible to live the Christian life without Christ and his Spirit empowering us to do it. And it's why every day we wake up, we need to just pray a simple prayer. Lord, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. I cannot live the Christian life without you empowering me to do that. We read, don't we, in John chapter 15, verse 5, where Jesus says, if anyone remains in me and I in them, so he's talking about Christians, will bear much fruit. And then he goes on to say, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do a little bit, pretty good things for God, but maybe not quite as good as if we were doing them with his power. No, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so if we're to consistently live as people of light and be a light shining in this dark world, we need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to illuminate our lives and live through us. And so when Jesus says this statement, you are the light of the world, what he's effectively saying, or what I believe he's saying, is that it's actually his life, his very life, that same Spirit that lived in the person of Jesus when he was walking the earth, is now living in us. And therefore, it's his light shining out of us, his power working through us. And so, how do we do this? How do we rely on this power day by day? Of the Holy Spirit. Well, I think one of the first things we need to do is to develop an attitude of dependence on a moment by moment basis. I'm sure I've said this myself, and I've certainly heard others say it. You know, you're going off to church or your Christian annual Christian conference or something, and you say, "Oh, I'm going to get my top up." Recharge your spiritual batteries a bit. And hopefully church and Christian conferences and things do help to recharge us and energize us spiritually. But actually, if that's all we're depending on, church services, life groups, the odd Christian conference, or church weekend away, our spiritual batteries are going to go flat pretty quickly. And I don't think that's the way God intends us to live as our sole source of power. I don't know if you've got a mobile phone. I guess many people have nowadays, most people have. Now our boys seem to have to charge their phone up at least once a day. Ness and I think that's because they sneak on it in their bedrooms. I need to charge mine probably every other day or so. My work phone, which I just use for calls and is quite new, I just got it the other week, so it's got a brand new battery and is quite a new phone, will last about a week without recharging it. I was looking, there's a lady in my office that works at the desk just behind me, and I was looking at her phone the other day, and she's got this kind of power bank, and I don't know whether it's because her phone is a bit old or the battery's just completely died, but it's just continually plugged into this power bank that gives it the energy to keep it going. And as I was thinking about it just the other day when I saw her phone on her desk, I was thinking, actually, that's a really good picture of the way God wants us to live, in that dependence upon him for our resources to live the Christian life and to be light. Not just plugging in occasionally when the batteries are kind of, you're getting the warning light saying low battery mode switching on, but actually just a continual power source going into us. And so, just bear that in mind. We need to have an attitude of continual, moment-by-moment dependence. So I said, it's a good prayer to pray when you wake up, isn't it? Lord, just fill me afresh this morning. But actually, we can just go on praying that prayer through the day. As you're driving to work and someone cuts you up and you get a bit annoyed, just pray, Lord, fill me with your power. And so I've got a bit more patience. You're about to pick up the phone and make a difficult phone call to someone as part of your work, or it might be a difficult neighbor or something. Just before you do that, Lord, fill me with your power. And I believe that just moment by moment, walking with God and relying on his power enables us to live differently than we would if we were trying to do it in our own power and strength. Because if your own power and strength is anything like mine, it's very limited. It doesn't take much for me to just realize I haven't got what it takes to live the Christian life. And then secondly, as well as an attitude of dependence, we can just ask. Luke 11:13 says, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so, just continually ask, as I've said, just a quick prayer it can be. It doesn't have to be, 35 minutes on your knees, just a quick arrow prayer. And so one of the questions to think about maybe as we go from here is, what will you do, or what do you need to do to rely more on God's power as you go through this week ahead? Maybe it is just before you do something that is going to be a bit tricky, just say a quick prayer and develop that sort of moment by moment ongoing relationship with Jesus that isn't limited just to church services and life group and things. So we've done P, we've done I, we've done P. A is action. I'm going to invite Jasmine up to help me explore this point. Because a few weeks ago, before Christmas, four of our young people went to a youth conference at Brunel Manor. I went along with them because they needed a leader to go along. And so Jasmine's just going to share a little bit about what happened while we were away. Thank you.
So last year in December, a few of us from 180 were able to attend a Christian conference tag for the weekend. It was a great experience where many of us learned a lot about fulfilling our purpose in Christ as we attended lectures and workshops. On the last day, we did something a bit different. We were told to go into town of Torquay and carried out random acts of kindness. Even though it might look random, but of course, we were guided by the Holy Spirit. We saw a homeless couple, so we bought them a warm cup of tea and a sandwich. We later went into Greg's and bought some mince pies and tried to deliver them out to random people. It was quite interesting how different people viewed random teenagers walking down the streets with a box of mince pies, saying, "Would you like a mince pie?" Some were really nice and took it, yet some just ignored us. I think my group and I learned a lot from this activity. Doing small little good deeds could be easily ignored. But yet, there is a possibility where it could warm one person's day. And it's a great opportunity to share Jesus' light to them. So, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a challenge for myself as well, just to go onto the streets. And they weren't asking us to preach, you know, the gospel in words to people, but just to show kindness and to say we were doing that because we were Christians was a good way of just pushing us out of our comfort zones. And it's true, isn't it, that just saying we're Christians, or maybe people just simply knowing that we go to church perhaps, is maybe not enough if we're to be light in the world, because it needs to involve action. And when we read these verses in Matthew chapter 5, it says that it is about our deeds, and that as people see our good deeds, that they will praise our Father in heaven. So, how do we do that? Because in many ways, in our country, as Christians and as the church, we're almost, it's a bit of an uphill battle for the church, at least, to be honoured. I was at work, not this week, the week before, where a lady had watched a programme on, I think it was on BBC Two, about one of the sex abuse scandals within the church. And she was just so critical of the church, and how could Christians do that? And so as the church, we've almost got to make sure that we're shown to be people of light that reflects who God is. That's part of what being people of light is about, showing the world what Jesus is like, because most of the population, probably well over 90-95% of the population, rarely set foot in a church service like this. And so God is relying upon us to show the world what he is like and what his character is like. So how do we do it? How do we do it? So the first is that we need to be dependent, a little bit like similar point to the power source, but we need to pray and ask God for opportunities to let our light shine. That may be in words, it may be in actions. Pray. And if you haven't got any ideas, I'm sure as we start praying and maybe chatting about it with people, we'll come up with some very simple ways we can be light. Secondly, we need to be ready. We need to prepare. Sometimes that means thinking about what we're going to do. So when we went onto the streets of Torquay and while we're going around, we were chatting about what are just some ways we can show people the kindness of God and the generosity of God. It requires preparation. And similarly, it's good to think about what you might say if you get opportunity to talk. Maybe someone asks, why is it that you do that? Or tell me a bit more about what you believe. Because sometimes in the moment, it's not always easy to think, oh, how am I going to share my testimony or share a Christian perspective on this? And we're encouraged to do that, aren't we? In 1 Peter 3, where it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, and do this with gentleness and respect. And so just sometimes a bit of preparation, being ready, will help us when those opportunities come. And thirdly, we need to be bold. We need both to look for the opportunities and think about them, but we also need to be ready to take them. Because putting your light on a stand where people can see you for who you are and what you believe takes faith, it takes courage, it takes boldness. And it may not actually always be appreciated, perhaps. But actually, being bold enables us to be that light in the darkness. I put a picture here of a cake, and I don't know if it's very clear if you can see the background, but it's a cake in an office. And there's all sorts of simple ways, aren't there, that we can just show people what Jesus is like. It might be as simple as just baking a cake or buying one or a nice packet of biscuits or something and taking it into work. And they'll think maybe at some point, that person's a Christian. They think of others. They're generous. And it's not that non-Christians don't do that, that others in my team are always bringing stuff in. But actually, as Christians, we should and can be part of showing that kind of generosity. It might be looking out for a neighbour in your street if they're not very well. Maybe it's showing your family what Jesus is like, your children, your husband or wife, your wider family, your neighbours. All sorts of ways that we can be ready and be bold in declaring and showing what light, what Jesus' light is like. So just a very simple question, which hopefully all of us can do as we go from here. What one thing will you do this week to be God's light to someone? Because it's no good. Fortunately, on my phone, there is a torch, which occasionally comes in useful. Now, this torch is no good if we're in darkness now. If I was to hide it under this bowl here, it wouldn't give out any light. And as Christians, we need to think about how do we make sure our light's not hiding like that underneath the bowl, maybe giving a bit of light directly underneath it. We need to take that bowl away and let our lives speak of the wonder, of the generosity, of the kindness and the love that God has for this world. And I believe as we do that in lots of all sorts of different ways, if every one of us does that one thing this week, imagine the impact of what 100 different deeds going on right throughout the community and the impact that will make to the kingdom of God. So, just to recap, let's remind ourselves regularly about our identity and our purpose. Secondly, let's rely on the power that God has to shine through us. And thirdly, let's think about the practical steps, the actions and the words that we can take so that we display that light to others and don't hide it under the bowl. Thank you.